Congregation, our scripture readings this afternoon. First one you'll find in prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Read there the last two verses, and then we'll turn to some verses in Mark chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 58, end of the chapter, verses 13 and 14. You'll find it on page 656 of your Pew Bible. Let us now hear God's own holy, fallible, inspired, inerrant word to us. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then if you turn over to Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, we'll pick up our reading. Verse 23 down to the end of verse 6 of chapter 3. Mark chapter 2, beginning our reading there, verse 23. Now it happened that he, that is Jesus, went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? I went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.' And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal them on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him." Amen. We'll leave off our reading there. O congregation, brothers and sisters, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the biblical term Sabbath? Perhaps your mind immediately goes to the words of the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Or perhaps for some of you what comes to mind is the word legalism, or thoughts of the Pharisees with all of their restrictive rules and regulations concerning the Sabbath day, stipulations about what can and cannot be done on this day. And so perhaps the word Sabbath makes you think of something that is a burden, something to look forward to, simply to getting over and done with each week so that we can move on to the rest of the week and its activities. That's certainly what came to my mind when I thought of the word Sabbath prior to my conversion. Well, like me then, for many people today, that is the direction their mind goes in when they hear the word Sabbath mentioned. And there may be various reasons for why that is the case. Well, whatever others may think of when we hear the word Sabbath, God's original intention in giving the Sabbath day at creation and to the Jews in the Old Testament was so that we might call the day a delight. And God meant for each of his covenant people under the Old Testament then to delight themselves in the Sabbath day and in the Lord on that day. And far from being a day that was to be dreaded then because of its imagined restrictions, God designed the Sabbath to be a delightful day. It was to be the best day of the week. Well, friends, if that was to be the case in the Old Testament, then how much more should those of us who now know God through Christ, who have his Holy Spirit, find delight in the Lord's Day? For the Lord's Day, in its substance or essence, it is essentially the equivalent, the New Testament equivalent, of the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. It's a day that God has given to his people today for them to delight in. And as we enter another home visit season then, as a consistory, we decided to take as our home visit theme for this year the theme, the Lord's Day, its privileges and responsibilities. And in light of that then, I want to try to preach a sermon this afternoon on delighting in the Lord's Day. My hope is that you will see that this day, it's meant to be the day of days on our weekly calendar. It's meant to be a day that we view as a blessing and a delight, something to be valued, something to be enjoyed, something to look forward to. And so I want to look at just two things with you this afternoon then under this theme. Firstly, how we should view the Lord's Day. And then secondly, I want to share some thoughts about how we can spend the Lord's Day. Well, firstly then, let us think about how we should view the Lord's Day. As we've already said, the Lord's Day, it's meant to be a day that we take delight in, just as the people of God in the Old Testament were to call the Sabbath a delight, as we read earlier in Isaiah chapter 58. And of course, the reason they were to delight in the Sabbath day was twofold. Firstly, because it was a day that was rooted and grounded in the good order of God established at creation, as we see from Genesis chapter 2, also the wording of the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. But secondly, it was also a day that was rooted and grounded in the fact of their redemption. And it was designed then to continually remind them of their miraculous deliverance by God from slavery and bondage in Egypt, as we see from the additional rationale given in the wording of the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5 for keeping the Sabbath day holy. And the Sabbath day was given by God to the Jews in the Old Testament then to be a day of blessing to them. It was given to them for their own good, for the enrichment of both body and soul. And God never gave the Sabbath day in order it might be a burden or a hardship for man to keep it then. But he gave it because of his love for humanity, for his redeemed people, because of the good that he knew it would bring into their experience when rightly observed. That's why, as we also read earlier at the end of Mark chapter 2, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for man as man. Because you see, God made man even before sin to need the time when he would put down his home and he would rest from his labors so that he might be refreshed physically and mentally. And you see, the Sabbath day was given at the very outset of creation then to be a perpetual and much needed reminder to us of our need of rest, that you and I were not machines. And you see, the principle of one day each week set aside from our hectic lives to rest, it's to be viewed by us then as being for our benefit, as being a wonderful blessing from our God. You see, the God who made us, he built this principle into creation for our good. And we only violate it then, just like we do the law of gravity to our own peril. And as one author says then, in a day and age like ours, where workaholism is epidemic at the individual level, and which the corporate structure and the societal structure around us is driving us into incessant labor with never a pause for a breath of air. Surely we ought to recognize the love and wisdom of God in mandating a day of rest for us, and that this day it is a blessing of God then. But of course, this same principle of rest written into the order of creation, it's not only meant to remind us that we need rest for body and for mind. It's also meant to remind us of the fact that God is our creator and our sustainer. He's the only one who can truly give us rest in either body or mind. And thus it's a day given to him to also point us to our constant need of God himself. It's a reminder to us we didn't make ourselves, and thus we cannot sustain ourselves in existence either. And so it serves to intentionally direct our thoughts to God as the one in whom we live and move and have our being then. That God is the one upon whom we depend for life and breath and all things. And so when we're viewing the Sabbath, our Lord's Day, in the way that we should then, it ought to be a day in which we take delight in the Lord. And the fact that he thinks upon us, that he does continue to provide for us from day to day. And how much more should that be the case now in light of the fact of the fall and our sin, that we're not worthy of the very least of all of the mercies that God does show to us on of account of our sins against him. And yet what do we discover? That his mercies are new every morning. For great is his faithfulness toward us. And of course, as we've already said, our sin was the additional reason why God told his covenant people in the Old Testament they were to continue to remember the Sabbath day. You see, it was also to be set apart by them as a weekly reminder to them. God wasn't just their creator and their sustainer. He was also their redeemer. He was their savior. He was the one who had redeemed them from the hand of the Egyptians and their slavery in Egypt. And you see, the Sabbath day was also graciously designed by God then to focus their hearts and their minds on their need for him to meet not just their physical needs, but most of all their spiritual needs, their need of salvation from sin through Jesus Christ. Because you see, the release from Egypt, it was and it still is a type or a picture of the salvation that we do enjoy only in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, that is what it was pointing forward to. And of course, that is why we believe then that while the seventh day of the week was to be observed and set apart as the weekly Sabbath in the Old Testament, now that Christ has come, now that he has fulfilled all of the types and shadows of the Old Testament, the first day of the week is now to be observed as the weekly Sabbath or Lord's Day, in commemoration of Christ, the glorious work of salvation that he has now accomplished for us. Because you see, the Sabbath day principle established at creation and reiterated at Sinai, it now takes on a deeper significance and meaning because of the life, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath, the one in whom we find rest for our souls. And having risen from the dead on the first day of the week then, in confirmation of the fact that the work of salvation was completed, you and I, we are now called then, according to the pattern that we see established in the New Testament, to keep the Sabbath day by observing the first day of the week as a day of rest and worship in recognition of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus on that day. And you see, the change of day from the last day of the week to the first day of the week then, it is to reflect the fact that we not only commemorate the wonderful creation of all things by God, wonderful redemption of Israel from Egypt on this day. But most of all, we now commemorate the glorious resurrection of Christ, his triumph over death and sin and the grave on this day. Because you see, the resurrection is now God's perpetual testimony to us of the fact that Christ has finished the work that the Father gave him to do, and that he has now secured eternal redemption for his people. And you see, a Christian observance of the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day then, it will always involve a thankful contemplating of what God did in creation and in Egypt, yes. But most of all, it will involve a grateful contemplation of what God has done for us in redemption through the work of the Lord Jesus. And you see, the Lord's Day ought to be loved by the people of God then as the day which by God's own appointment they now get to set aside the things of the rest of the week. They now get to focus their minds and hearts in a special way on their great God and Savior, the glorious work of their redemption. And friends, what can be more sweet or precious to the believer than that? And the Lord's Day, friends, it's to be viewed as a gift from God then, not as a duty to be fulfilled. And it's the day in which we ought to be able to say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it ought to be a day that we look forward to then, a day in which we willingly choose to turn away from doing our own pleasure. And we now delight ourselves in the Lord, in his works and ways. Remember, it is his day. It's a day that he has blessed and set apart from the other 6 days as his holy day. And thus it is to be guarded and kept by us in the way that he intends. And it's a wonderful day of opportunity then. It's not something to be misused or squandered by us. Makes me think, boys and girls, of the story I read recently of an old elder. And he came upon a number of young lads who were misusing and profaning the Lord's Day. And so in gentle tones and without even the slightest sign of anger, the old man, he said to them, he said, boys, let me tell you a story. And he said, there was a rich man and he owned 7 fine cows. And he had a neighbor who was very poor. He possessed nothing at all. But the rich man was so generous that he gave the poor man free and without any price 6 of his fine cows. And then he asked the boys, and now what do you think the poor man did? And one of the boys said, well, he would be very grateful to the rich man. Another one of the boys, he said, I would think he ought to show his gratitude by doing what he could to please and honor the man who treated him so kindly. But the old man responded and he said, no, my boys, you'll be surprised when I tell you he was neither grateful nor respectful to his benefactor. But on the contrary, he used to come and steal the milk from the only cow the good man kept for himself. And upon hearing this, one of the boys said, is that story true? And another cried, who is that man? And yet another one of the boys shouted, why, that man's too mean to live. But then the old elder said, stop, my boys, and I will explain. I have told you a story to teach you a moral. God, in his infinite goodness, has given us 6 days in the week for our own use. But the Sabbath, or Lord's Day, he has retained to himself. And then he said, but boys, you seem not to be satisfied with 6 days, for you are robbing God of his day. And then he asked them, is this right? Is this manly? Well, the boys got the point he was making. And there was no more desecration of the Lord's day for them that day. You see, they took to heart the lesson that the old elder was seeking to teach them. That the Lord's Day, it is a precious gift from God, that he has seen fit to set it apart for a special purpose and use. And we ought to be grateful to God then for the gift that he's given us in giving us the Lord's Day. And we should seek to show our gratitude to God for this wonderful day that we have been given, by now seeking to make a right use of it, by using its hours in the way that God intended us to. And that brings us to consider, secondly and more briefly, some ways that we can spend the Lord's Day profitably, so that we might take full advantage of the potential blessings and benefits which this day has been designed by God to actually bring into our experience. Remember, God has attached a promise of blessing to this day when we do view it as holy, when we seek to honor him in it. We see that, for example, in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 2, where God says, "Blessed is the man who keeps from defiling the Sabbath." Again, in the latter verses of Isaiah chapter 58 that we read earlier, God says that when we delight ourselves in him, when we seek to honor him and his day, then he will cause us to ride on the high hills of the earth. He will feed us with the heritage of Jacob. In other words, we will experience and enjoy his rich blessing in our lives. So I want to encourage you to approach this day and thinking about how we spend it in that light then, in a positive way, to encourage you to set it apart to God as his day, a day that he has given us to enable us to focus as much as possible on cultivating and enjoying our relationship with him, the very thing that you and I were created for. And as a day in which we can actually express our love and our gratitude to God for all that he is in himself and all that he is toward us in Jesus Christ. You see, every Lord's Day, the Lord is essentially coming to us. He is saying to us, "I want to spend this day with you and bless you in it. And so will you now set this day apart for me?" And remember that whenever we do take time to spend it with someone else, it's a way in which we can say to them, it's a way in which we do say to them, "I appreciate you. You are important to me. And I value the time that I spend with you." And you see, that's how it is when we honor the Lord's Day, when we seek to spend time with the Lord. On his day, we're saying to him, "Lord, I love you. I appreciate what you have done for me. And I now want to get to know you better by spending time with you on this your day." And of course, that raises the question then as to how we can do this. And there are obviously differing views on what the Bible teaches in this regard. I think it's safe to say that whenever our thinking is deeply rooted in Scripture on this point as to how we're to keep the Lord's Day, we can all agree on at least two basic principles. Firstly, that our great privilege and most important responsibility on the Lord's Day is to worship him with his people. And secondly, that all of our activities on this day, they should reflect the fact that it is the Lord's Day, and therefore we should seek as much as possible to devote ourselves to the pursuit of those things that promote the enjoyment of God himself. And while this does not obviously exclude those things that will refresh our bodies and minds, nevertheless, we can do this best by seeking as much as possible to give priority to divine and spiritual things on this day, the things that are of eternal significance and value, the things that belong to our peace, things then that will edify us and build us up in our most holy faith and in our walk with God, and things that will edify and build up our churches, our families, in their faith and in their walk with God, and the things that will extend the kingdom of God and bring glory to Him. And see, the Lord's Day is a wonderful opportunity then to devote ourselves as far as possible to now worshiping God and entering into communion with Him and with others through all of the various means of grace He has appointed to that end. And of course, one of the primary means or channels of grace that God has given us to bless us on this day, as we said, it is public and corporate worship. That's why the Sabbath or Lord's Day in the Old Testament was actually called a holy convocation or a sacred day of assembly. Because you see, it was the day in which the people of God would intentionally set aside other things so as to come together to worship and praise their God. They would come together around His Word to be taught and instructed from it. And they would come together to enjoy a time of fellowship and mutual encouragement with others in their faith community. But of course, this isn't something that's been relegated to the Old Testament. Because you see, you and I, we're still called now in the New Testament to do these things. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, we're specifically told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're told in places like Acts chapter 20, we're now to come together as believers on the first day of the week in order to worship God and hear His Word, to stir one another up to love and good works, to encourage one another as fellow pilgrims and strangers on this earth, to keep on pressing on our pilgrimage journey toward heaven. Because you see, our citizenship is in heaven. And this world, then, it's not our true home. And of course, that is actually the message that the Lord's Day in particular communicates to us each week. And that it is meant to communicate to us each week. You see, it's a weekly reminder to us, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, that there is a Sabbath rest that still remains for the people of God in heaven, their eternal home. And while it's true then that we've already entered into spiritual rest in this life in Christ, as we saw this morning, because Christ is our peace, nevertheless, the full enjoyment of that rest and peace and all that it entails, it is still something that lies ahead of us in the future. And you see, the Lord's Day and the means of grace that we're to use on this day then, they are actually meant to serve as a foretaste and reminder to us of the eternal and complete rest we will yet enjoy in glory in Christ and because of Him. For He is our rest. And on this side of heaven, we will still endure various sorrows then. You and I, we will still have to contend with the flesh and the world and the devil all the days we're here on earth. And we will lose loved ones, and our weak bodies will eventually fail and die. Thorns and thistles will continue to sprout in spite of all of our best labors and toil. And friends, how we need this weekly reminder then that there is an eternal Sabbath rest yet to be enjoyed by God's people in the world to come. And it's there that all sorrow and pain and thorns and thistles will be no more. For in our eternal state, in the new heavens and the new earth, God will wipe away every tear, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any more sorrowing, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things will have passed away, as we are reminded in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And friends, what a wonderful opportunity each Lord's Day brings into our experience then to dwell on these things, to lift our hearts and minds above the vicissitudes and changes of this life, and to rest in the knowledge that there is an eternal city which has foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. And when our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when they are inscribed in the heart of our Lord and Savior, then we can wait with patience upon the Lord to yet bring us to our eternal home by now allowing this day to continually remind us. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18, that our light afflictions, the passing troubles of this world, they are but for a moment, but they are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. And so we're not to look only to the things that are temporal and that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And brothers and sisters in Christ, then let us delight ourselves in the Lord's day. And most of all, let us delight in our God, great God and Savior, whose day it is. For one glorious day, faith will yet give way to sight. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to see the King in all of his beauty, arrayed in glory and in splendor and in majesty. And we're going to be like him. And we're going to walk with him in robes, in glory, in an eternal, unending Sabbath, in that place where the Lamb is all the glory, and where our song will forever be, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Amen. Well, let's come to God in a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Lord God, we thank you. You are God who thinks upon us in our low estate, who knows our needs, who knows our need of rest, physical, mental, rest, emotional, rest. And we thank you that in your wisdom and in your love, in your grace, you have given us the Lord's Day, a day in which we can take rest from our labors, and a day, most of all, in which we can meditate and reflect upon the blessings that we enjoy in Jesus Christ, the one who is our rest, the one whose day this is. And it's a day that commemorates all that he has done for us in his life, his death, his resurrection. And so we pray, Lord, that we would be enabled to delight ourselves in your day, the weekly Sabbath, and we pray that we would be enabled above all else to delight ourselves in you, the one whose day it is. Help us to see that we are not merely creatures of time, that you have created us and formed us, body and soul. And we do pray then that we would see that our greatest need is to be found in Jesus Christ, to be at rest and peace with you through him. And we do pray that all of us would delight ourselves then in Jesus Christ. We do pray that we would seek him and love him and serve him, that we would go out of into this week, having begun it, thinking upon these things, that we would go out into it refreshed and ready to face another week, to live unto him, to do all that we do as unto you, the Lord. And so help us, we pray in all of these things. We need your grace. We're dependent upon you, not just for life and for breath, but for all things. necessary also for godliness, to enable us to live out our lives before your face and before others, and help us to remember we are ever before a watching world, that we are called as those who name the name of Christ to depart from iniquity and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And so help us, Lord, to do so, we ask. Bless our meditations upon your word and upon this day. Mix all of these things with faith in our hearts. Bless and keep us, we pray. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.